You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So in your op-ed pieces, you've mentioned how the international rule-based order itself is an illusion perpetuated by politicians, diplomats, and academics. In this sense, are the actions of the Trump administration a result of the failure of the system rather than solely the wild actions of an individual politician or administration?
Different academics or commentators will have alternate views on that, I think. My view is that I don't think the rules-based system has ever actually been there. It's an illusion that we've created to demonstrate some sort of normality that every state has a sovereign territory and every other state's going to respect it, and we're going to discipline ourselves to the use of force in international affairs. But in reality, that's never really happened. You know, during the Cold War, the USSR and the US both used force as their national interests dictated, while maintaining this illusion that everywhere else, the rules-based order was supposedly in play. So, I don't think Trump's overthrown it or changed it. I think what he's done is exposed the fact that the rules-based order is an illusion. And the problem with him is that his use of force or his threat of force is just so erratic and so common and so frequent that it's kind of really underscored the absence of any such order.
At the World Economic Forum in Davos, Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney also spoke of the facade of this order and emphasized how you'd said certain states have realistically just acted with might and power. Based on the relations between the US and Canada, Canada has had to change its security policy, as has Europe. Do you believe that these reactions have come too late and that the downfall of this so-called rule-based order was predictable?
If I stick to my original proposition that it was never there, then its exposure was, it was always going to be at risk of somebody exposing the frailty of believing in it. I don't know that I would say that the reactions of Europe and Canada are too late. I think all of us looking at global affairs over the 20th century and well into the 21st would say that, of course, Canada and the United States are neighbours, friends, trading partners and allies. And of course, Canada doesn't need to worry about US as a security threat. And the same would be largely true for Europe. So what Trump's done is he's gone and turned the last 80 years of concert between these countries on its head and suddenly decided to do something quite different, quite contrary to alliance arrangements and quite contrary to international tradition. So, I think that's taken us all by surprise, and I can understand why previously Europe and Canada would not have needed to worry about this sort of thing, and now suddenly we do. And in New Zealand, we need to think about it as well.
In what sense does it affect us here in New Zealand? What implications does it have for New Zealand's security policy?
Because I think New Zealand has wedded itself to American perceptions of the Pacific and of American constructions of security in the Pacific. So we've sort of grown up with the Pacific being an American lake where US influence has always been there, and we've always wedded ourselves to the supposed international rules-based order and to American presence being benign in the Pacific. Now what I think we've got to wake up to is we've got geopolitical competition for influence in the Pacific between China and the US. We actually don't know what the US is going to do. So that's our first problem, the unpredictability in US policy. Are they going to stay in the Pacific? Are they going to try and preserve their position? Or are they going to retreat and let China come in and be the dominant hegemon? So that's one thing we've got to think about. And the other thing we've got to worry about is the erratic nature of Trump's foreign policy. What's he going to do with American interests in the Pacific? The Americans are still the bosses of American Samoa. They still have bases across the Pacific. Are they going to pull out? Are they going to increase presence here? There's all sorts of variables suddenly there that weren't there before that we need to think about. What would we do if the Americans suddenly pulled out? Or what would we do if the Americans suddenly decided they're going to massively increase? Or what would they do if they decided that the interests in Antarctica required them to own part of the South Island of New Zealand because they need it strategically to support their operations in Antarctica? What would we do if that actually happened? This is ridiculous, really, when you think about it, but all of a sudden, the way Trump has been acting, all of a sudden we now need to start thinking about, well, what if this actually does?
Do you believe that it is possible that New Zealand might, just in the years to come, that there might be some sort of new defence organisation that includes maybe Canada, Europe and Australia and New Zealand without the US?
No, because I just don't think the sufficient concert of interests is there. Canada by itself is much smaller and much less stronger than the US. Europe by itself is even as an integrated group, would be concentrated mainly on European security. The only real European country with interests in the Pacific is France, and I don't think Europe would orient their entire security standings to worry about French positions in the Pacific. So no, I don't think there's any realistic possibility of something like that.
So yeah, we've spoken about how practically, if this rule-based order does not exist, practically it has followed US interests based on might and power through force. The US has been posited as a peacemaker and the spreader of freedom of democracy. And I guess up until now, most Western countries, including New Zealand, including Canada, everybody has kind of just benefited from this role, even though in a way was slightly hidden in the shadows. We said peacemaker, but there was this force at the same time, like a lot of the interventions that you spoke about. I guess a lot of these Western countries gave the US this position of power and in a way also let the US do its dirty work as long as it aligned with their interests. And now the US isn't aligning with their interests. It was just, if it was unsustainable to have this dependency on the US as the global policeman.
I think that's a very fair assessment and definitely one that is worth having a great discussion about. I think you're absolutely right. We have benefited from what we have perceived as the benign US presence in the Pacific and the fact that it hasn't really had any competitors. So the Pacific's been a nice, safe place for us. And yes, Europe has also been able to build into the modern liberal place that it is because it's had the shadow of US power behind it. And now suddenly that's receding. So yeah, look, you're absolutely right. So, and there we have that lack of, you know, it's not quite in concert with our ideals of what Western liberal democracy should be and the reality of power that has basically supported it or created it and kept it there. So yeah, it's interesting chat and a very good observation.
Obviously, Trump has another 2 years left in the term. What are your, in a positive scenario, what are your hopes for the next 2 years or for the end of that two-year term?
I think if I wanted to be optimistic, I would just hope that common sense would prevail and that wiser voices would be able to get some control over his very frequent, quite erratic policy statements. Because it's almost like US policy has become whatever he puts on X or other social media outlets that he might be using. I'd be hopeful that somewhere there'd be enough residual restraint that could control that sort of behaviour, because I think that's fundamentally the problem, and that international trust between nations is recomposed. I suppose the other positive thing about it is it has exposed the vulnerabilities in our assumptions. And now we can sit down and actually test how valid dependence on American power will be in the next 20 or 30 years. So I think that's probably been quite a good wake-up call. We need to not miss the significance of it.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Not a problem.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.